Translation. He saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Purport. When civilization is disconnected from the loving relation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, symptoms like changes of seasonal regulations, foul means of livelihood, greed, anger, and fraudulence become rampant. The change of seasonal regulations refer to one season's atmosphere becoming manifest in another season. For example, the rainy seasons being transferred to autumn, or the fructification of fruits and flowers from the season in another season. Godless man is invariably greedy, angry, and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. During the reign of Maharaja Yudhishthira, all the above symptoms were conspicuous by their absence. But Maharaja Yudhishthira was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom, and at once he suspected this disappearance of the Lord. Foul means of livelihood implies deviation from one's occupational duty. There are prescribed duties for everyone, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But anyone who deviates from his prescribed duties and declares another's duty to be his own is following the foul and improper duty. A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that this earthly life of few years is all in all. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshmanma Jai Shri Gaurinithai Padma. Ignorance is the cause of all these anomalies in human society, and to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Okay. He saw that the direction of eternal time has changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Hare Krishna. Let's see. I try to draw something from here for all of us together. Gauranga. Okay, I have some lousy notes here. Hare Krishna. So, yesterday's verse, I think, was Prabhupada mentioned in a purport that during personal presence of Lord Sri Krishna, there was absolutely no way that any degradation can sneak into environment. See, so the old paraphernalia for our peace and prosperity, especially religion and knowledge, were in full display because of the Lord's presence. So there was no chance to influence of Kali to be present there, or he was present. We can compare this to Prabhupada, for example. When he was present, he tried to keep the reins of everything. You know, his power was basically running the movement, the entire movement. And when he left, there was a little bit of confusion there. But if he managed to keep Krishna in this movement by our really serious, deep practice and preaching activities, Krishna is present also. So the same will happen. This is our 10,000 years of Krishna's presence. And we are responsible It's up to us to keep Krishna here, to bring him first, and then to keep him here, which may be a challenge for many of us. So yesterday we had a nice class about different omens. Very good class. But nowadays, for example, we don't have many exceptionally bad omens. We don't see. So why is that? Because more or less, Kali Dosha Nijarajan, everything is made of bad elements in Kali Yuga. We are submerged into it, so we don't notice. If you ask fishes, do you see the water? What? Water? What's that? So we are submerged into these bad elements of Kali Yuga. So therefore, we cannot notice. But entire Kali Yuga is a bad omen itself. And we are living there. We are lost due to covering of contamination. It's thick covering of contamination in us. So we are familiar with bad elements. This is no problem. You see, if you are old enough, probably in your life you can kind of recall that every, 10 years or so, some creepy degradation sneaks in and becomes standard. Just becomes standards. If you go 50 years ago, my goodness, this was, incredible what's happening already. But it's just normal now. So we, all of us, have this witnessing how Kali Yuga degrades. So now we can ask, can we blame? Can we be blamed? It is our fault because we are living in this age. For example, Maharaj Yudhishthira could notice immediately slight influence of bad elements. Immediately, because he held the reins of all bad elements in his hand. And he was situated in mood of goodness, pure goodness. So when goodness prevails, then the slight presence of other modes is easily visible. Therefore, we don't see. We are in total ignorance. We can notice something good, maybe, if you're lucky. So just think of this, you have satisfaction. And everything goes well. Everything is regulated. People are happy, satisfied, no pollution, no nothing. No fraudulence, is verse says there. And then suddenly some bad elements creep. And then people are shocked immediately, they notice what's going on. Especially king, the ruler, because he keeps all reins in his hand. What's that now? So that's what Maharaj Yudhishthira experienced. Bad omens, see? So he sees straight away. For example, if the environment of mood of ignorance doesn't disturb one, then he's situated in mood of ignorance. So some people don't even notice. For example, okay, if you are a guest somewhere, you will tolerate. But if you live in your place, and you just enter, you just don't see the dirt, don't see the scattered rubbish. It's so normal for you. It doesn't disturb you. That's mood of ignorance. You're situated there. That's a kind of interesting, remarkable point which I notice in some persons, unfortunately. And interesting there, in this verse itself, they say that direction of time had changed, and this was very fearful. So what did it mean? I'm just asking you. I was kind of, what means direction of time? Direction of time has changed. What this would mean in the verse itself there? You could notice direction of time changed. What means direction? It means that time goes this way and then suddenly goes this way, which I don't know what this would mean, What means that? Any suggestion? Yeah. Probably is a connection there, yeah. But it must be deep. It doesn't satisfy me. What you say. I don't know. I just tried to kind of figure it out. I was thinking, anyone?
I'm just assuming because it says that these. Hi, Krishna. No, I'm just assuming because it says that these negative qualities are becoming more rampant.
Yeah.
So the direction of time is moving towards that, towards that area. of, you know, being, it's not going in a gradual way, everything is fast-paced.
I mean, time itself is kind of very interesting term, you know, time, okay, 8 o'clock. Is that what we think of time? It's interesting. Just like a few more points. I try to have some idea which will kind of hit my heart and say, oh yeah, this could be, there's an intelligent person next to you.
It is mentioned that the time, one of the factors of the time is degradation. That time kind of dissolves and degrades everything. Yeah. So again, possible speculation that in the time of presence of Krishna, the degradation of time was not so present. That rather maintenance and flourishing and growing.
Yeah.
And,
this kind of gives me some pleasure in the heart.
And when Krishna left the world...
Tell me more.
The full kind of a rampage of a time was predominant. That's everything started degrading, like the qualities. Yeah. And even like the nature started more withdrawing its energies.
That's a good point. That's good. I mean, it was harmony. And suddenly Krishna left and disharmony, like nasty picture. That's a good thing.
Could also just be that Krishna left and there was a yuga change. Yeah. So when there's a yuga change, the direction of eternal
this is also,
changes.
It's worth it to meditate. I'm going to think of it more. But it's good. Thanks for food for thought. So... another thing, how and where from this mentality, kind of these influences, comes about this degradation? That's an interesting point. Is that something external presses on the consciousness of people from external point of view, and they degrade, or some energy bad planets, you know, demoniac influence, something, okay, Kali's agents. You know, how is that text? Or it's from inside, like people have anarthas inside and sprout slowly out. So is it coming from outside or coming from inside? That's a kind of... make example. Let's say, if you consider yourself a good person, don't be shy. Consider yourself a good person with all virtue. So how is that that something creeps in your mind that they kind of... all those qualities mentioned in the verse come about. You know, sometimes thinking, God, how is it possible that such a yoga degrade? Like, such a pristine, you know, such a yoga. Everything is in abundance. Everybody is Paramhamsa. You know, Mother Earth giving abundance. There was no need for agriculture. Everybody was happy. And how is that goes down? So that's a very interesting kind of... So what do you think? How is that come? Coming from inside of us, manifest, or coming from outside and then kicks in?
Well, I think there are a few points to consider, I think. One is you've got the demoniac influence. And we must also remember there's a struggle between the forces of good and evil.
Yeah.
This is always going on since time immemorial.
Yeah, I've been on that.
So the demons actually push people who have a kind of demoniac propensity, and they push them over the edge to do horrible things or whatever, or ungodly things.
Yeah.
But the seed is already there in the heart. And if we show some intention of doing an act, just by intention, we get the help of a demon to help us.
Yeah.
So basically, we have to forget that the demons, they are actually playing this role.
Yeah.
And the point is, it's a power struggle, because they're trying to develop, they're trying to gain a stronghold to have a demonic kingdom on earth. Everywhere, all over the material planets. So, and then they're wrestling against the force of good. And so, but then you have the three modes, which I play the part in it. So at the moment, when there's a tamasic rise in influence in society, at the moment it's quite high, Rajatama and tamasic rise, then there's a propensity for higher degree of ungodly activities or behavior.
It's come both ways.
So it's from
ways,
within and it's from out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from within and from out. Okay.
But still, like, if you are really strict, it's difficult, but if you are very strict, for example, in diet, often I speak, if you would be so strict, for example, in eating habits, nothing unofferable, only offered food, pure things, make experiments for a few months, and then try to go back to old ways. You will notice. Now you don't notice. Many people have no problem to go and buy bread in a shop. And I don't feel anything, you know, because we are not sensible anymore. So if you make experiment, you will see the difference. This purity, how is slight. This is go so slow that you don't notice. But we are influenced, see, by Maya, core impotency. The same way as somebody practicing Krishna consciousness and then enter into a realm of struggle and then loses the point. What's the point? He doesn't get its essence. And then he loses the point, see, like, what's about, you know, he just degrades. Yugas also. Slowly, this ignorance creeps in. And then, what's the point? It's kind of. So, but we can create golden age, as Prabhupada said. So, it's kind of very much up to us. It is very difficult, you know, we are influenced. Always on other some, we have marginal energy, this or that. But if we keep the simplicity and then the message, we could, as a group, to help each other. And we will do anyway. Satya Yuga, who is going to inaugurate Satya Yuga? Some other guys, Chinese forces, we. So as a group, we can create a strong protection. See. Now speak about yugas anyway, because I touched there. So in Satya Yuga, all Brahmanas, able to meditate for thousands of years, in this way worshipped avatar Hamsa, white in color, four-handed, dressed as brahmachari. People in Satya Yuga were peaceful, non-envious, friendly to everyone, friendly to every creature and steady in all situations. They worship the Supreme Personality by austere meditation and by internal, external sense control. And then Lord came personally to inaugurate process of meditation. White in color, Shukla means purity. So he comes in the purity of the age, in his white complexion, to introduce this meditation. So from that stage of pristine beauty, every scripture, every religion, every philosophy you read, there is a kind of beginning time where was everything perfect. Every scriptures. I read most of the Mayan scriptures, Incas scriptures, or this red Indians. And then we have, you know, in the beginning, you know, all beginning is just pristine. So, Bible, yeah, it's a little bit obscure. Some Bible you can read. Like, there was a light, God said there'd be light. Yeah. You know, but, esoteric. Yeah. So everything starts from top. And then it's diminished. And as we said, degrading influence may be always there, but people kind of prone, you know, or bad influence was suppressed. There was no chance. There's so much goodness around, Satya Yuga, so much goodness, thick. You know, you could just walk and, you know, high Indra, you know, high Brahma, you know, it was just normal. Walk among the demigods and mystic powers, have opulence. You know, and meditate for thousands and thousands of years, 10,000, 20, Valmiki Muni, 60,000, very easy, you know. This was kind of almost like a god, demigods, you know. So then in Satya Yuga, people are automatically perfect, whereas in Treta Yuga, people are inclined to become perfect to be performing Vedic sacrifices. That means Satya Yuga are automatically perfect, but in next Yuga, you are inclined to be perfect, still pretty good. You are not yet from birth, but you inclined, and it's a process. And then, in Treta Yuga, human society is not automatically Krishna conscious, as it was in Satya Yuga, but people are still highly inclined to become Krishna conscious, and thus they strictly follow the Vedic injunctions. So they were very, you know, interested in spiritual life. In Treta Yuga, they are mostly Kshatriyas. In Satya Yuga, they are mostly Brahmanas, all of them, or have Brahmanical qualities. There was no need for Varna Shrama in Satya Yuga at all. There's one Varna. But in next Yuga, it was need. So Varna Shrama was established in the Treta Yuga. They were mostly Kshatriyas anyway. So there's a process of realization of various very costly ritualistic sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. Avatar was red. What's the color of Kshatriya? What's the color of passion? It's a red. Kshatriyas are the red. The Lord comes in a red complexion as avatar. Four-armed with golden hair. Red complexion, golden hair. It's very unusual appearance. His name was Yagya, personification of sacrifice. So this was Yuga, Dharma, and Treta Yuga. Because Kshatriyas are very passionate, very rich, very, you know, showing off. They could perform these costly sacrifices. But they were very interested in spiritual life, not just to make show. See? And then we go down, it's like we are pristine, a little bit less pristine, and less boom, 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 boom. This is how we go down. In Dwapara Yuga, they are mostly Vaishyas. Yuga Dharma process was the regulated temple worship of deity. A Lord comes in dark blue color, comes in the Vaishya community. Just wondering, who is that? Who is that person? Comes in Vaishya community, because mostly we're Vaishya. Son of Maharajananda. My dear king, in Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a supreme enjoyer, worship him in the mood of honoring a great king, following the prescriptions of both Vedas and Tantras. It's interesting. This process is very similar to our Archana. We worship Krishna initially as a king in a royal opulence. This was Yuga Dharma. See? And who is personifying that kind of process? The denizens of Dwaraka. They worship Krishna in this royal opulence. So they kind of personified Yuga Dhamma in Dwapara Yuga. But denizens of Vrindavan and this pastime is just something beyond it. You know, this is something beyond. This is Krishna's pastimes there. But Dwaraka personifies the worship, which is Yuga Dharma. He said that even in elevated canto discussion between some Karambhoja Muni and King Nimi. He said even in Dwapara Yuga, people didn't have many good qualities, he said. Even the Dattaja, but Krishna appeared. They didn't have many good qualities. Desirous to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jigyasavah. Otherwise, they are described as a martyah or subject to the weakness of mortal beings. This kind of answered our question. We are subject to the degradation of mortal human beings. Therefore, goes down. Even in that age. O King, in this way, people in Dwapara Yuga glorify the Lord of the universe by temple worship. And in Kali Yuga also, he said, they worship Supreme Personality of Godhead by following various regulations of the revealed scriptures. So even, he said, this is interesting word. He said, even in Kali Yuga. So when you hear this, it's not even expected that people in Kali Yuga worship God. He said, even in Kali Yuga, they worship God. So just specially emphasize that they worship. See, it's interesting because, you know, there was no question of Dharma disappearing in Satya Yuga or Treta or Dvapara, but in Kali Yuga, Dharma disappears. That's incredible, like it disappears. But he said, even in Kali Yuga, they worship Supreme Lord. By Hare Kirtan, you know, that's it. Kali Adosha Nijanaya, ocean bed qualities. But there is one good quality. Chanting holy name of the Lord. Congregational chanting. One worships the Lord. So we can recap quickly. First was degradation. Was no at all possibility for degradation when Krishna was present. When he is gone, then degradation started. And then Satya Yuga, pristine, degradation down. Due to our weakness. So in Kali Yuga, most prevalent quality of people is, what you said, boredom. I heard once class, and it really struck me. Said, boredom, that's the most prevalent quality of people in Kali Yuga. So we are never, we just wanted newer and newer experience all the time. All the time. Remember, it starts from earlier age, as a kid. How long your new toys lasts? You're interested one day, second day, third day, is all right. Fourth day, you need another one. You just get bored. Playground. I've seen so many playgrounds, new open, so many amazing things to go through, to hang on. Full of kids. First week, 2 weeks, after months, empty. This is such a waste, I say. Somebody asked me once, why you don't make, you can make so many things, why you don't make some big playground for kids? I say the same. What a waste. They get bored. Our playground is amazing here. It's Krishna's pastimes. And they may jump there, maybe new kids when they come, but after a short while, empty. The boredom, see, like Disneyland. Anyone been in Disneyland? There's one in France, one is somewhere in the States. They have to expand constantly, you know, agitate mind, people up to the limit, because it's boring. You know. And later on, when you grow up, new eating, new sleeping, new sex, new intoxication. There's a crazy amount of new drugs are invented, really. I mean, most of us went through experiences. Oh, most of us, most of us. You know, it was different, you know. Now it's just so just crazy, you know. Take few dose, few times, it screws you up forever. You know that? It screws you up forever, you know. And then new drugs, new stimulation, new, you know, something new. It's, you know, it starts with boredom. Okay, there's depression, you know, there's a spiritual aspect there also. You know, but it's just old wine in new bottle. See, like this COVID, new eating. Let's eat something new. Eat all kinds of stuff, you know. Bats and cats and dogs and hogs. You know, who sane man would eat such a nasty things? Insects, cockroaches, grasshoppers, snakes, pythons. Somebody showed me a short video, one devotee circulating around. It's a Chinese restaurant. And underneath, in basement, there are cages with all kinds of animals. My goodness, pythons, crazy birds. And I've seen small, I don't know, it's a kitten of a jaguar or something. You know, anyway, sorry everybody who likes those things, you know, it's been insane, you know. It's kind of boredom, you know, starts, new stimulus, you know. And then many of us started anyway, spiritually, because we wanted to break this boredom, get some higher experience, you know, get some mysticism, you know, open this portal and enter into another realm. We wanted that, you know. Try to find some way. And of course, experiment with drugs also goes there. 60s was, you know, I wanted to experience something. So it was kind of a kickstart, you know, some crazy around, you know. See, the people seeking this experience. So how to preach to people who are bored with life, who wants that, you know, to go somewhere they've never been. Somewhere just out of it, you know. See, there are many so-called gurus offering that kind of experience. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Stamashmanma. Jai Shri Gomitai. So when you preach, you know, like practice Krishna consciousness, this may not happen, this kind of initially experience, because it works on different level, works on consciousness more than on mind or externally, you know. It needs like serious practice to get into this protection. Even some people who practice Krishna consciousness didn't get anything out of it for some reasons. They think, oh, this is just wishful thinking. They would go somewhere else, try some other meditation, some other whatever. So when you preach, you know, how to present Krishna consciousness that is actually exit for all problems, in a way, that really protects you. See. Or sometimes another thing, like there's a catchphrase in preaching. Have you heard of stress? You know what is stress? Try this one. Or personally, sorry everybody, I don't want to offend you, but I don't like this mantra. You know, chanting Krishna consciousness will not free you from hectic life, from stress so easily. Needs serious practice, you know. Even devotees, most of the time, or many times, are passionate. They can't sit and chant peacefully. You know, mind is all over the place. So this kind of mantra is good, catchy phrase to stop somebody. But you need something else, perhaps, if you expect that. Because it works on different level. It needs years of practice, and then you will feel slowly, you know, comes out, see. For stress, like, you know, you may, but in your stressful condition, can you sit and chant and hear? If you don't, it's not going to work. Stressed person, how he can sit and calm? We can give him information, of course. Ultimate goal of life, this is it's kind of right. But in terms of as a therapeutic, you know, it will not work so soon as you wake, see. Also, it's kind of sense gratification also. I want to be here, not change my life, but then not be affected by bad elements, stress, you know, or want to be my own boss. Therefore, everybody dreams in Kali Yuga, you want to be independent. He has his own business, doesn't want to accept any authority. If I could just be my own boss, another works for me, you know, there's another symptom of not wanting to accept anything, you know. But to have this with the higher taste, really, only deeper taste for Krishna consciousness, then you will see things differently. That's it. So, last month almost we speak about dry process of Ashtanga Yoga. But incredible how Prabhupada takes this information and changes into nectarian topics of bhakti, even those verses. That's just incredible, you know. So this was last month we speak about. Now I have to speak about our own yoga. yoga. He's chanting. He all begins with Shravanam. But not just any Shravanam. When rapt attention starts, that's the beginning of real essence. You know, we come to that, not just any hearing, but rapt attention. So without that, it will take long time. It's kind of superficially bouncing around. That's a real beginning, rapt attention. And what means rapt attention? When you sit in here and then you are not bothered about any distraction outside of you, it doesn't matter what's happening around you, you're totally focused. Without seeing, hearing, that's a rapt attention. So if you can chant this way, then even if you stop in that way, then Krishna memories will still be in your head. It will still be there. So it is not easy to achieve. But in that state, we are protected fully. And we want that state. This is what we want, see. But we have to practice other qualities as well. Along with that. But this is main point, is rapt attention. Otherwise, what we have to offer to others, see, you know. If I'm also concerned about food, about shelter, about disease, about old age, about death even. I spoke with devotees who are very afraid of death. And Prabhupada said, if your practice doesn't free you from fears, anxieties, fear of death, then what's the use of your practice? Something like that, you know. Or if you engage also in mundane things like others, you know, like movies, sports, killing the time, what are you going to offer to others? There's such a bad influence of all this, you know. You cannot focus, no way. You can share like things about law of karma, reincarnation, information, see, mundane things. But what I'm going to preach, if this essence doesn't help me, like, you know, if I myself don't feel this relief, We are fortunate, most of you have this relief, have this essence of Krishna consciousness. But other cases, which, you know, even after practicing for a long time, still these anxieties are there. See? When you take Bhagavad Gita, you know, like, this interesting phenomenon. You take Bhagavad Gita, you just look for informations, you know. It's just a deep essence in every word. It's just such amazing. I mean, I don't know. I'm just enjoying reading. I don't know. It's like maybe mad, you know. But such a nectar in Prabhupada's purports are there. You know, like he invested bhakti in. He doesn't just share information. Even I last time mentioned 6 chapters, Ashtanga Yoga, very technical. I never before read so attentively, like just recently. Prabhupada enriches everything with bhakti. Even previous chapter of Bhagavatam we discussed. It's imbued with bhakti, all these things. So that's how we have to read, actually. See? Otherwise, if I hear just collecting information, and then I compare my information I give, I compare information I got. So it's just kind of like a structure, kind of something, you know. My information is information I calculate, yeah, you know, kind of. My ones, we don't like, you know, I compare, you know, new information. Yeah, this was the theory, it was good. This is not Shravanam, really, you know. I mean, like, for example, like, what's his name? Krishna Kshetra Maharaj said that many people appreciate poetry of Srimad Bhagavatam. Somebody appreciate the philosophy of it, this structural, you know, many aspects. But Srimad Bhagavatam is like a huge structure with finer and finer and finer and finer things there. You get all this information, you get philosophy, you get but this essence, effulgent essence of bhakti, of Srimad Bhagavatam is this bhakti message. This we have to seek for. You know, not just exchanges of information, sit in class and amazing information, but if you just sit and read and try to enrich the soul, if something which speaker speaks hits your heart and melts down, you know, that's a proper hearing. Anyone, you know, this back, that back, you know, you can find that, you know, it reminds you of Krishna. That's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it said Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You know, that's how we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Search for this nectar, not just exchanging of information. After some time, we dry out. You know, it's too technical. See? Sometimes you ask, what's the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? See, because we have dull brain, we forget things. We have this experience. Today I hear an amazing class. I mean, so many times happen, maybe always. And this energy around is so great. And I walk out and I just can't recall most of it. And tomorrow I just don't know who gave a class even. But this energy is just, I know, for years I still have a feeling when, you know, nearly 20 years in Africa when Tribhuvanath gave a class. With few of us in Uganda sitting. And it was a Kadashi and he gave such a class, like, I mean, best Andidal time ever heard. If you ask me what it was about, no idea. Nobody recorded, no, just gone. But I feel this, God's sake, what a class, you know. So that's our benefit at least, see, you know. Therefore, constantly, we forget all this environment, externals. Like he's mentioned, if you sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, this holds Kali. This is actually true, I'm sure everybody has experience. You just forget externals for that time being. Therefore, it's recommended Nityam Bhagavata Seva constantly. So, and how to imbibe sometime, you may think, you know, how to follow, how to get instructed. But just this hearing repeatedly, this energy kind of, you know, holds us, gives us some nectar inside. You cannot describe this, you know, by words. It's just like something like turns your heart into honey. You know, something, I don't know, just can describe, you know. I don't know, maybe you can describe the words. Like, remember, last time I was in India, or maybe before, there's a person who was speaking about something. And then he came to the pastimes of Krishna, gives the mercy to Brahmana's wives, yeah. And then the biggest part when Krishna comes. I mean, all these wives, they come to see Krishna, and Krishna said he's like a like a majestic actor dressed in yellow dhoti, you know, with amazing garlands, you know, like a lion walking around, and he's dead, you know, with his hand around Balaram's shoulder. And this picture is just, oh my goodness, like, I don't know, I just, somehow, I just sat and I just remember, you know, like, this kind of feeling, you know, that's all about, to remember Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, all these structures which we have, it leads to that. So everybody has its experience, you know. And somebody may ask, you know, do you believe in God or something? You know, believe in God. Yeah, it's all right. Even do you believe in Krishna? You know, yeah, I believe. But it's not that I'm not interested in God in that sense, you know. You know, I'm interested in Krishna, you know, not in just God. Like, yeah, it's all right. God is there, you know. But Krishna is something, you know, like so-called religion, you know. Lord Chaitanya didn't come to give us religion. Came to give us the love, pure nectar. Is what he came. So, do you believe in God? God, yeah. It's a different level, you know. So, and really, distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam means come to that state. Distributing Srimad Bhagavatam means to bring people to the point of chanting. That's a goal. When they start to chant, then become devotees, see. And then they engage in service. They become bhaktas. They adopt bhakti process. They serve Bhagavan. And then they are there. Next one. That's a goal of Srimad Bhagavatam distribution, see. And they said in this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam is only light in this age. In a sense, all Bhaktivedanta purports. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. But we have so many lights, we have deities, we have holy name, we have Prabhupada, we have Lord Chaitanya. Devotional service, we have lighthouse of it, we have to just take it and install bulb in every house. everything we have, you know. You have to just hear and appreciate, yeah. Shravanam. With rapt attention. That's the thing. With rapt attention. That's the thing. So, this is my experience. If you feel inside, in the heart, you have to feel this feeling, I am dear to Krishna. You have to feel that. I am dear to Krishna. If not, then deeply contemplate why is the case. That's my thing. That's the source of miseries I had. It's something is just missing. Oh, you know, Krishna holds back. So you have to feel this. I'm dear to Krishna. If not, then contemplate and fix it. You know, just step down, step down, step down, step down. We have chance every day to give up pride, false ego. Every day we have chance. Just step down. If you build your life upon the false ego, when it crashes, as longer you build, it'll be devastation, total devastation. You cannot build a house on that kind of thing. So get used to it. Ego doesn't like, mind doesn't like, bow down, 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 down. As down, more you go, you're saved. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. If you have anything to share, you know.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. I just want, for me and most of us, I think it seems like we've come to the point where there's no real taste in material life anymore. Like, that's kind of gone. But yet, we're almost stuck in this middle point where there's still not quite that full nectar that you're describing that from devotional service. So it's, I don't know, can you address this? Like, we seem to be stuck in this middle place of there's nothing out there for us, but still we're not completely attracted. Krishna.
So ask me to fix your problem. In general, statistics says that first 8 to 10 years, those 2 years, are most difficult if you don't live before. Okay. You know, boredom. What does it mean? It means I've been exchanging information. I'm giving information, taking information. Wow, amazing. And the heart was drying, 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 drying. Therefore, I said it, rapt attention of hearing. It took me years and years to kind of appreciate in that level. I don't know how that happened. When I sit and read Bhagavatam, sometimes mind is disturbed. You know, it's like, okay, I have to do my hour or something. But just sit and meditate and you just enter deep. So much there, like, man. So, you're not here, you're not there. We're fighting with anarthas. We have bad habits, bad baggage. We're prone to influence. But you have to first learn to guard ourselves against bad influence. My goodness, when I just see devotees with a mobile phone, day in, day out, you know, even when they chant every few minutes, for God's sake, you know, what a disruption, you know. You need all this, you know, just throw a mobile phone for 2 hours and then just chant deeply, study. You know, such a distractions. Our mind is damaged. Very simple, you know. You know. So, you know, what we can do. Our old desires, or whatever it is. You know, you have to find the formula. I tell you, for the mind, there's no one who will give you a formula, a solution. I'm myself devising constantly new way to trick the mind, trick that consciousness, you know, constantly. Sometimes one thing works for some time, doesn't work anymore. Devise new plan. That's how, you know, you have to be expert, you know. So everybody else must do the same, you know. But one thing definitely, you know, is, as I mentioned, all these, you know, devices, when I step out of that, my life in Krishna consciousness improve 50% at least. How am I wasting my time? How am I spending my time? You're crazy, you know. Like, where are you going? Mind tricks you, you know. You know, in the end, you just be devastated. So, there's many ways to answer, but, you know, deep, shravanam, kirtana, no distraction, no, you know, we have to get this essence. It takes years. I'd say, I mean, it took me many years. I went through, and then mind is such a way to guard against, you know. I mean, I don't know if this helps you at all, but there's no formula, you know. There's no formula. You have to find the nectar somewhere, in some aspect of the ocean service, you know. But basic is shravanam with rapt attention. That's a basic. We have to feel this nourishment. Anyway, sorry. Maybe not answer, but anyway. Anyone else here? Yes, we have to go, but if there's any show. If you want to say something, if you wanted, anyway.
Thank you very much, actually, for a powerful class, I thought. Spoken from the heart. So I was just wondering, what you're really saying is just persistence. You just have to persevere. Is that right?
It doesn't work too much on a physical strength, neither mental strength. Yeah, of course, you must be, you know, initially you must persevere. You know, you don't just don't know how to waste time. But just ask yourself, you know, my phrase is, how long I want to rotten within this material world. And then you see all activities I do leads to that. You know, damn it. And it's exciting also. Yeah, damn it. Boom. Prabhupada, I like this statement on some lecture. He said, this life is meant for serving Krishna. Prabhupada just emphasized so strongly, and you can hear banging the table. You know, you have to say yourself, that's it. Enough. You know, nobody else from externally will not save you. You know, nobody will create your determination. You can be inspired by somebody. But you are one who has to pull yourself out. and just guard, you know, no way. Just watch the mind. In that sense, yeah, you can persevere, you know, not wasting time, not allowing distractions, you know. Mind never stops, you know. Just keep it away. I mean, and deep focus. You know, my favorite activity is chanting again. No, it's Srimad Bhagavatam. No, it's chanting. Maybe Srimad Bhagavatam. Both. You know, it's a Shramanam. You know, it's kind of, it's possible to hold the back influence on Maya. So, I don't know. I just say, all started when I started to see how I'm spending my time. It's not that I'm ideal yet, but no wasting time. Chant more rounds, and this kind of, this is actually a key point in me. When I started to chant more rounds, this creates revolution, you know. I'm not going to go back to the old ways. Anyway, sorry. Breakfast is going, by the way, I cooked already, don't worry. I'm going to get hungry. It was so challenging. I managed. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Gaur Premananda.